welcome to All Steelers Talk, your home for everything Pittsburgh Steelers, presented by AllSteelers.com.
Hello, beautiful people of Steelers Nation. Welcome to another episode of All Steelers Talk. I'm your host, Noah Schreckbein, joined every Friday by my main man, Derek Bell. Make sure to subscribe to us on YouTube, youtube.com/AllSteelersTalk. Be a friend, tell a friend to use our promo code for 20% off plus free shipping at manscaped.com. Derek, the Pittsburgh Steelers have done exactly what everyone expected them to do and have held off on negotiations for contract extensions with Minkah Fitzpatrick and Deontay Johnson. Nobody, I don't believe, saw it coming, but the wide receiver market has bit them right in the butt. Brandon Cooks being the latest name to have signed a new deal. DJ's market's rising. Before we get into the numbers and everything, what are your thoughts on this expanding money for wide receivers?
Yeah, I mean, even with the, you know, the draft classes in the last like 3-4 years being pretty solid at the receiver position, NFL teams, man, are willing to pay that premium price for, you know, number one wide receivers. And, you know, Deontay Johnson is currently the Steelers' number one wide receiver. He's played like that, you know, the last two seasons. So it's going to come a time where they're going to have to, you know, pay up. And that time's coming soon, whether it's, you know, before this season starts, if they let him roll onto his contract year throughout the year and then try to negotiate after the season. They do have the franchise tag as an option. I hate that for players, but, you know, it is an option for the team to use if they need to. But
do you think that
coming, it's coming time.
Do you think that the franchise tag is going to be – I mean, it's going to be – it was, what, $19 million this season? What, in next year? I mean, you're still looking above 20.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, the franchise tag, man, it sucks for players. It's really just like a caveat for NFL teams to use and kind of get away with some shady stuff, in my opinion. But it does give you time. If you do have to go down that route and they can't get something done before the season, they could franchise tag him and then work on an extension like before the season. And you give yourself a little bit more time without him being exposed to the market to where he could potentially go and, you know, get a bigger deal elsewhere.
Yeah, that's the thing, is you can't let – if your thoughts are to keep him around, you can't let him hit the open market. I firmly believe that. I also think that a lot depends on this season, but next year – they're going to have to start talking to Chase Claypool about an extension. It's a tricky situation to say, oh, we're going to push this one back and next year we'll decide. Now, if their thought is next year we'll decide between Deontay Johnson or Chase Claypool, I get that a little bit more, but I think right now the clear – I mean, next year, if the wide receiver market takes another step forward, which chances it's going to, but by then DK Metcalf, AJ Brown, and Deebo Samuels are all going to have new deals, big, big deals. And I'm not saying DJ is in that same category, but he's worth money. Next year, if you wait another year, that market's going to be even higher. Deontay Johnson's going to possibly be coming off another Pro Bowl season. You're going to want more money, or he's going to want more money. And Chase Claypool is who Chase Claypool is, and chances are he's going to be looking for the bag as well. So that's, I don't know, too much of a tricky situation. Now, let me ask this. Brandon Cooks, little under $20 million a year. I thought that's where Deontay Johnson's market started. Now I think it starts above that. Do you feel the same way?
Yeah, I mean, I think that 20-year mark or 20-a-year mark really is kind of the baseline for what he's going to be looking for. I mean, if you just look at the other receivers that have signed recently, I'm going to exclude Tyreek's, you know, ridiculous $30 million a year contract, because, you know, he's kind of a unicorn in that aspect of no one can really replicate his game. But you look at the other contracts that have been signed recently, like DJ Moore, Keenan Allen, Chris Godwin, guys like that, even Christian Kirk have all came in that 18 to 20 million per year range. So, I mean, you got to think that that's going to be what Johnson is going to be looking for. I mean, those guys have all, like, if you just look at the numbers, and I'm not saying that's the way you needs to be evaluated, like the end all be all, but you look at the numbers between Johnson and those guys, it's pretty close, man. It ain't, you know, lopsided in any manner. So I definitely think that $20 million a year mark is kind of going to be what he's gunning for, I would imagine.
Yeah, no doubt. I feel the same way. What do you think? So, you have the 20 million guys, the guys that you just named. Then you have the Devontae Adams, the DeAndre Hopkins, Tyreek Hills. Do you think that's just a different class? Or do you think, but do you think that AJ Brown and DK Metcalf and Deebo could join that class by then?
Maybe. But I don't think, I mean, you even look at the way that, I mean, we don't know how the Steelers really view Johnson, like if they view him as a top receiver. But I just think, like, just listening to people talk and a lot of the rumors and stuff surrounding, like, AJ Brown, DK Metcalf, I think Johnson's a little bit below that, just in the eyes of, like, a lot of people. I don't know how the Steelers feel, but I don't see I don't see him being able to get anything close to, like, where Devontae landed or Tyreek. Those guys are just, you know, you have your number one receivers, which I think Johnson is and can be, and he kind of is by default right now because the Steelers don't have nobody else. But then you have, like, your alpha receivers, like, you know, your Devontae Adams, your Tyreek Hills, you know, your Jamar Chases, like, those guys that are, like, dominant players. I don't view Johnson like that yet, but I definitely think, you know, number one wide receiver, he's going to want to get paid as such.
Yeah. And I'm not saying that DJ is worth, that Deontay Johnson is worth $28 million or what Devontae Adams. I'm just, my question is, like, is DK going to be close? Is Deebo going to be close? Because if they're close and the Steelers push it out past what their contract is, even if Deontay Johnson's not going to get the same money that they're going to get or pretty much anywhere close, his value is going to improve. Mm-hmm. That's exactly what's going to happen because those guys are his class. And if he sees how they're getting paid and how Christian Kirk got paid this offseason, I mean, he could say, hey, I'll just go through this year, have another great year, walk into free agency next year, and I'll sign $24 million somewhere, even if it's not as good as Pittsburgh.
Yeah, Deebo's an interesting case because, I mean, he was hurt 2 years ago and then exploded last year. But, I mean, everybody, you know, this offseason's been all about, like, oh, can my team find the next Deebo Samuel? Well, like, he's kind of he's a rare breed for what he's able to do. He has a very unique skill set that's hard to replicate. So you look at that, and I don't know how his market's going to shake out in comparison to the other receivers. Metcalf's an interesting one because, you know, I could see him getting a good chunk of change from Seattle, mainly because Seattle doesn't really have they're not paying a quarterback right now anymore. And then next year they're going to have, you know, more cap space. So I could see them paying, you know, premier money. I mean, Metcalf's arguably one of the best deep ball threats in the entire, you know, NFL. So,
oh yeah,
it's going to be interesting to see what happens. I mean, the Steelers, I pointed this out a couple weeks ago and, like, you know, people really kind of took offense to it, but the Steelers are kind of hurting themselves a little bit by doing business the way they are, which is waiting until training camp. Because, like, you see all these other receivers that are negotiating, like, early in the offseason. Like, take, for example, Mike Williams. Mike Williams was a free agent, and, you know, L.A. was able to get that deal done before the Christian Kirk deal. If I'm Mike Williams, I know I'm a better player than Christian Kirk by far. We got similar money. I'm looking at my agent like, what's going on here, man?
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? But, like, that's what happens when you get it done early. And that's why I would just encourage them to get, you know, the deal done sooner rather than later. But, you know, continuing to wait until training camp, you're going to give other NFL teams, you know, 4, 5, 6 months to set the market for you instead of you, you know, getting ahead of the ball. So,
oh, yeah. I expect Samuels and at least one of DK or AJ Brown to be signed before training camp, that bare minimum, possibly all three of them. And at that point, it's bad. I also think that the Steelers have to question themselves right now. Do they put Deontay Johnson's contract extension above Minka Fitzpatrick's? Because, and I'm not saying that either one's going to get signed, but I'm saying, can you start to feel the pressure if you're the Pittsburgh Steelers to prioritize Deontay above Minka right now, not money-wise, but just who gets the first contract because of how the wide receiver market's shaping up.
Yeah, I mean, I still think Minka's going to be the really number one priority for the Steelers. I don't know that the exploding receiver market really changes that, just because I think the Steelers, and I don't think it's controversial to say that Minka's, you know, he's just a better player. You can argue about positional value. You know, a lot of people, especially now, value receivers over safeties. But I just think what Minka's done since he's been in Pittsburgh, you know, got off to a slow start last year, but really finished the year incredibly strong. you look at him and TJ Watt as kind of like the pillars of this next, you know, generation of, you know, Steelers teams post Ben. So I definitely think that Minka's going to be the number one priority, and I think they're going to be able to get something done with him before the season starts. Unless, I will say though, after the market being the way it's kind of risen, I'm not as confident anymore that Johnson gets done before the season as I was a couple months ago.
That's what I was going to ask, because if right now I don't expect Minka to sign before training camp.
Yeah.
And I think that if that's when Minka signs, Deontay Johnson is not getting a deal done. If he's next, if they're waiting until Minka's done before Johnson gets anything done, I just don't think that there's not enough time. Not the way Pittsburgh negotiates. It's not like these things happen quick. This is weeks on weeks, and they are not going to push. They'll push Minka into the season. They will not, by no means. And by the season, I mean the preseason. But they will not, by no means, do that to Deontay Johnson.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see how seamless that negotiation is. I mean, there's still kind of a big, you know, kind of glass slipper to drop on the safety market too with Jesse Bates, you know.
Oh, true.
You know, Bates is really probably – I mean, I think there's a good chance that he's going to reset the safety market. So that's something to keep an eye on as well, as far as, you know, Minka's next contract extension could come to fold as well.
So Pittsburgh Steelers, we're not – it's hard to say if or not they'll sign him. I believe that they will extend him. That's what they do. They pay one wide receiver. And right now, like you used as the example of Seattle that doesn't have a quarterback contract, Pittsburgh's not going to have a quarterback contract for a couple of years. If they don't, if they decide we need to look at the options, because you have to. If you're the Pittsburgh Steelers, you're looking at the options and saying, okay, well, if we can't afford Deontay Johnson, how can we replace Deontay Johnson over the next 2 years? Let's start with this draft. We both believe, we have preached this for weeks, the Pittsburgh Steelers are going to take a pretty early wide receiver in this class. Now that the market's high, the pressure's on with the quarterback market, where is that first wide receiver? Is it a guaranteed second-round pick from here on out?
I think it's going to come, no later than day two, but I do think it's going to probably be second round. But see, the thing is, what's kind of interesting to me, and in my opinion, I don't even think it's necessarily can the Steelers necessarily afford Johnson. It's just a matter of, like, what they value him as. Yeah. And I think there's a difference in that for me, because they can afford whoever they want going forward. They only have like 30 guys signed for next year. I mean, they've got a lot of really expensive players. You know, you look at TJ Watt, Cam Hayward, they got expensive players on the books, but they got plenty of room. It's just a matter of, do they value Johnson enough to pay him $20 million a year for the next 4 years? And that's the question that they really got to answer. Now, as far as like the draft, it's interesting. I don't know if they can have that mindset going in, you know, but I do.
To where they need to replace him?
Where they necessarily need to replace him, but like, obviously they want to add to the room, but I don't know how much it'll come into play, like who can play his position. And that's what makes Johnson, to me, extremely valuable for the Steelers, is because they don't have anybody on the roster right now that can do what he does and play the X. And then you look at the draft class, and I do like the receiver class. There's only a handful of guys that I can really see being able to play his spot. So obviously that could be a year down the road, but it would sure be nice if you could get a player that could help you next year, either as like a big slot or a Z, that you could transition over to like an X in year two. But there's only, like I said, there's only a couple of players that
can. I was going to say. So who are those players? Who are some of those players? So the list probably goes deeper than just the first couple of rounds.
So I think the big two for me, as far as like matching up to what the Steelers like in their X receivers and what could potentially happen, is Garrett Wilson for Ohio State. Yeah. Okay. They're not going to – Wilson may not even make it to 20, but we think that they're going quarterback in round one. But Wilson's a guy, he can play inside out, but he's a really good route runner, and I think he's going to be a good receiver as far as getting off press coverage. Those two things really matter as far as being able to separate, beat and press when you're the Steelers' X receiver. And then the other guy that I think is super interesting is George Pickens. I think he can do that. Mainly because – Pickens is a bigger receiver. Like, he's not going to separate quite like Deontay does just because he's got a different body type. But George Pickens is like a 6'3 receiver. Like, he's a bigger dude, but he's like extremely flexible in his lower half. He can run routes. He can beat press. He's got good hands. Not an elite separator, but he moves really well for his size. Like, he's described himself as like a he's a bigger dude, but he can move like all the smaller guys can. And that's really unique. I think he could be an X at the next level. But, you know, if you want Pickens and you want to make sure you get him, you might have to take him at 20 or you trade up to get him.
20. I said yesterday that I think the Steelers trade back in for their quarterback. My thought is a defensive back in the first round. Wide receiver would be interesting. Very interesting, especially because you think that by the time, and I tried to use this comparison, just like you said last week, you're not going to have five or six safeties go by the Steelers' second round pick. By 52, that's just not going to happen. But at the other hand, there is a possibility that seven wide receivers go by 52. Oh, yeah. Like, there's a strong possibility. And then after that, like, I think like maybe Jahan Dotson kind of finishes off that first level of receivers. You're looking at like Sky Moore's. And I think Christian Watson works his way into that first tier. You can make an argument for a couple of guys. What about the end of the draft? Can you replace a Deontay? Can you fix this offense? Say you're not replacing the X, but you have to have options. You still have one more year with Deontay Johnson. Can you grab a smaller guy later, Danny Gray, Sky Moore, those kind of guys, and then wait a year before you find your X, or is that playing a dangerous game?
I mean, you can do that. It's just, but the here's the thing. Like, if you let Deontay go next year and don't bring him back, you're going to be spending another premium pick, first or second rounder, on a receiver. So,
oh, yeah.
Like, it's – I know Deontay's extremely frustrating at times because he's just not consistent and he makes, like, too many mental errors with the drops and the penalties. But, like, there's just only a certain amount of guys in the league, not in the draft class or in college football. There's only a certain amount of guys in the league that can do what he does, which is consistently beat press coverage and separate at an elite level. There's only a couple guys that can do that. So the idea of like, you know, oh, we'll just draft another guy, like, it's not that simple because of what the Steelers ask his spot to do, which is play on the backside of like 3-by-1 sets, and you got a corner in your face, and you have to separate. You have to run every route in the route tree. Hey, man, you're wrong. I'm sorry, brother. You're wrong. I hate being that guy, man, but you're wrong. If you think that that's an easy thing, man, you got to go watch some of these, even these round one receivers, okay? Jameson Williams, a good example. I think Williams is a fantastic player, but he's not an X at the next level. He's fast as hell. He can run like nobody's business. He don't have the play strength, and he's not good about getting off press yet. Now, could he be in 2-3 years? Yes. Is he going to be next year? No. Like, you got to look and see, like, the profile for what they like at that position and match that to the type of prospects coming in. And you don't even know. Like, next year, there could be more guys. I only see, like, really, like, 3 or 4 guys that can really play his spot in this class at a respectable level early on. And even like Danny Gray, like, I really like Danny Gray and think he could help next year provide some splash. And then you could maybe develop him into like an X or a Z, like full time at the next level. But like, he's another guy that has work to do against press coverage. He's not an experienced route runner. A lot of these guys that are coming into the league too, like Danny Gray, aren't running a full route tree in college. So you're asking them to replace a guy like Johnson who can run any route in the book. So yeah. it's just not easy to do.
No, it's not. And I think the team understands that. I heard Cam Hayward somewhere say a couple of weeks ago, he was talking about the building blocks of the Steelers. And the only ones on offense that he named are Najee Harris and Deontay Johnson. And you could just tell that, like, you understand that how important that role is. Because Chase Claypool, on the other hand, very replaceable, right? If the Steelers extend Deontay, Chase's time in Pittsburgh is 4 years.
You can find guys a lot easier to do what Chase can do or what he was drafted to do than you can find to replace Deontay.
Yeah, exactly. Now, in my opinion, it's solidified. If you extend Johnson, Claypool's gone. So yeah, I mean, the point of drafting high guys, I think either way, you got to go back to back.
That's probably going to happen. But that's just more about the Steelers' philosophy. Like you mentioned about them just paying one receiver.
Yeah.
I mean, it is what it is. They're gonna pay one receiver, and that's going to be, you know, the end of it kind of. And then they're going to draft every year to kind of supplement the positions around that guy. So, but yeah, I mean, I don't think that we should, you know, a contract extension for Chase. I mean, that's 2 years away, but we need to see like a significant jump for him next year in general, just to help the offense, much less talk about like, what is he a part of the Steelers' future and all that stuff.
Yeah, very true. All right, let me ask this. This has been thrown out. This is the argument. This is the argument all over Twitter, all over YouTube, all over everything. The Pittsburgh Steelers will not pay a wide receiver $20 million.
Wow.
Is that's what I want to ask. Is that just a, we're just sticking to the guns and not adapting to the NFL, and that as in the people arguing that, or is there some truth that the Pittsburgh Steelers are just.
Why would they not do that? Like, I don't understand. I just don't understand that. Like, I've seen a lot of people say it to me on Twitter too, that they won't pay a receiver $20 million. You got to understand, like, $20 million now was $15 million a couple years ago. They made Antonio Brown the highest paid receiver in the league. And I'm not saying Deontay's AB, but he's also not going to get top receiver in the league money. Mm-hmm. I don't know why they wouldn't pay a receiver, their number one guy, top 10 money. But that's what I'm saying is, I don't know if they view him like that.
Yeah.
I personally think DJ is like a wide receiver one. I don't know if he's top 10 in the league, but he's coming due for a contract. And that's how those things typically go. But this idea that like they won't pay X position this number of money, everything needs to be kept in relation to the salary cap. It's better to look at things like in a percentage standpoint than it is like blank numbers. Because like we'll see quarterbacks now get like 45, 50 million. But you got to think about in year 3, 4, 5, $45 million ain't really that going to be that expensive because the cap's going to continue to go up. So you got to look at the receiver market the same way, like $18 million now in terms of like the salary cap where it's at. It's really not that much different than it was a couple of years ago. So I don't buy into that. I just don't know if they view him like that, to be honest.
Yeah, a lot of it is the view. And I think that that's the argument where the argument gets washed away. Is people, including myself, I put something out this morning about how Johnson's market starts at 20 now. People said no. And I just think it's how you view the thing. What's up, Tyler? Appreciate you jumping onto the show here. Thank you very much.
One more thing. If y'all just, I know Tyler will back me up on this, but y'all got to understand, like, I'm not going to go on a whole rant again about the Deontay thing, but what they asked Deontay to do is not easily replaceable. There's not guys that can do what he does as far as like beating man coverage. Like that's the number one skill in terms of like looking for a receiver. Like when NFL teams are going to look at these college guys, can you beat man coverage? That's the number one thing, especially like at an ex receiver. Can you beat press? Can you separate against man coverage? He does that all day long. And I understand the struggles with the consistency and the drops and all that. But this idea that you can just pick any first, you know, couple rounds receiver and put him into that spot and they're going to be, you know, this dynamic player at the next level. That's so silly to me. I don't understand that at all.
It is. You have to look at the failed attempts at this position. Antonio Brown was not supposed to be Antonio Brown. That was supposed to be Emmanuel Sanders. And Emmanuel Sanders turned out to be a great wide receiver, but not what it was. There was also another wide receiver in that mix that I'm never going to remember the name of. Do you know? I mean, Wilson.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of, like, I know, like, the Steelers' wide receiver success is awesome. Like, they've done a really good job. Also, keep in mind that they had a Hall of Fame quarterback, so that does help. Like, drafting all those guys and, like, having a Hall of Fame quarterback to throw to him is a good thing. But you look at, like, it's easy to say, too, like, oh, well, don't pay him and draft somebody. Like, they have had misses, too. Like, you look at guys they've missed on, like, they, you know, have brought in different guys. Even on, like, day three, like, you know, Sammy Coates didn't turn out. James Washington didn't turn out. Marcus Wheaton really didn't turn out, mainly because he couldn't stay healthy. But they drafted guys in that same range of, like, Deontay Johnson that haven't panned out. The draft is a little bit of a crapshoot. You already know what you have in Johnson. And
yeah,
and I do agree with Tyler too. Like the Wilsons and the Dotsons and guys like that that can separate. Separation is king at this level. It is king. You don't want to be thrown. I mean, you guys should know this because you watch Chase Claypool on Sundays, but like throwing jump balls every time somebody goes down the field or every route that's contested, like James Washington, for example, like throwing jump balls all the time is not a high success rate. Like guys like Johnson that are consistently open, like open, you're going to complete more of those passes because DBs aren't going to be in their hip pocket.
Yeah. So. And to your argument, everybody uses the that he had a Hall of Fame quarterback. They had a Hall of Fame quarterback. They also had Antonio Brown that was playing this position. So that's nobody, they didn't have to replace Antonio Brown. They just had to find Chase Claypools. And sometimes they did, sometimes they didn't. But that's all they were looking for. Much easier position. That's where you find your Juju's. That's not where you find your Deontay's. That's how they found Deontay's because Antonio Brown left. So they needed to.
And the reason why, like, still, you look back at when they took Deontay where they did at the very beginning of the third round. Like, everybody was looking around like, what in the world? Like, what are they doing? All this stuff. Yeah. Like, because he's nowhere on anybody's draft boards in the top, like, 150. Nope. Like, he was near the 200 range. Everybody thought that he was going to be an awesome day three pick, but everybody's like, there's no way he's going to go that early. But you look, after they took him, you think about it like, okay, who's he replacing? Look at his play style. Look how he plays, what he does well. It's a match made in heaven. Like, you don't have to be Antonio Brown to be a good X receiver for the Steelers, but, like, there are certain things that they look for in terms of traits, and Deontay has those. And if you're going to replace him, that's one thing, but you have to understand that there's not a very large pool of players to pull from, and sometimes that might even be in the first round. And I know everybody's going to freak out if they take a receiver in the first round.
So I was going to say, what are those receivers? Because everybody would freak out if it'd be a Martavius Bryant tweeting out, this isn't for me. If what wide receivers would they have to pick in the first round for you to be like, oh, okay, maybe. Maybe the only, they are.
Like I said, the only two guys that I really think in this class that can really do the things that he could do as far as playing that position is Wilson. And then I think that Pickens could do it, but he's a totally different body type. So it's going to look different, but I think he could get the job done. He could be a really good receiver. Like, I really like Scott Moore, but you look at him, he destroys press coverage. He's a good separator. He has good hands, can play inside out. Like, I think he could do that, but he's also smaller. So, yeah, like,
he's smaller.
He's like another inch shorter than Deontay is. And it's tough. There's just not a lot of guys with his profile to really be extremely successful at the next level. So it's a little bit more of a gamble, in my opinion.
I mean, yeah, but at the same time, the West Walkers of the world do exist. We're the minority of the DJ talk here. Nobody wants Deontay Johnson's
phantom, bro. Well, you're saying get DJ out of here like you don't want him in Pittsburgh, but you think Kansas City is going to trade you the pick 29 and 50 for him. So he's not good enough to pay $18 million, but Kansas City is going to trade two top 50 picks for him. Come on now, man. Y'all killing me today, man. I don't know what's y'all. Y'all woke up on the wrong side of the bed.
It's the Deontay Johnson talk. Nobody wants to pay a wide receiver, not in Pittsburgh. That's just what it is. All right. Before we head out of here, let's talk about a little bit of NFL draft. The Pittsburgh Steelers have Desmond Ridder was in Pittsburgh yesterday. I believe Sam Howell's there today. Malik Willis is coming. They hosted Kyle Hamilton, which they're obviously going to draft at 20. I saw somebody tweet out today that Kyle Hamilton will slide to 20 and that the Steelers will draft him. And it was like a real account. Like, and I was just like, I just looked at the tweet and I shook my head. And there was more to the tweet. And I don't want to give away who it was because, you know, but like I just looked at that tweet and the only thing I thought is like, at what point do we just really just given up on trying when Kyle Hamilton is the 20th pick in the draft? Like, there's just zero reason for that. Derek Stingley, you know, as Phantom explains here, still a chance maybe. I think he moved himself out of Pittsburgh. But either way, the Pittsburgh Steelers, as always, last month, 2 months now, they're clearing their way to the draft. They're giving out hint after hint after hint. Have you picked up on anything over the last couple of weeks that makes you think maybe the Steelers are pointing this direction, that direction?
I mean, I still think it's going to be quarterback, man. I do. I think it's going to be quarterback all the way. I really do. But, you know, guys like, you know, Stingley, Hamilton, Booth. I'm just playing with y'all, man. I appreciate the conversation. But I think it's going to be a quarterback. Now, like, if it's going to hurt my soul. I'm not going to lie to y'all. It's going to hurt my soul if they were to pass on, like, Andrew Booth, Derek Stingley, Kyle Hamilton, any of those guys like that for a quarterback in this class. I think that would be a big mistake. But, I mean, just looking at where their interest lies, I mean, they've shown every bit of interest in all of the quarterbacks in the class. They've been not so subtle about hiding that. So, I do think that there's a good chance that that's going to be the pick, whether it's at 20, whether they move up. You know, I think that's going to be the pick.
Okay, so yesterday I told this to Donnie. I texted you this last night. Mm-hmm. I'm going to ask your opinion on it here. The Pittsburgh Steelers, I got the Masters on in the other room. People are going nuts, so Tiger just did something nice. That's all I could confirm here. The Pittsburgh Steelers want a quarterback. I totally agree with that one. I don't believe that the quarterback hype is going to make it all the way to the end of the month. I think right now it's fading so quickly that by the time April 28th rolls around, teams are going to be like, all right, well, we fully understand that the quarterback class is buns and we got to move on from it. I still think Kenny Pickett goes to Carolina at 6. I think the Pittsburgh Steelers go defensive back with pick 20 because they've shown a lot of interest in defensive backs. I mean, just the guys that they've been to pro days with, Daxton Hill, Derek Stingley, Andrew Booth, Kyle Hamilton, Sauce Gardner, Lewis Kine, Sign, whatever his last name is. They've shown interest in these round one guys. I think they do that. And then I think they've learned from the Baltimore Ravens. And they see a guy like Malik Willis still there. The only team after them that I would believe drafts a quarterback is the Tennessee Titans at 26. So what do? They move back into the draft at 25. Maybe you give up a third round pick or a second round pick next year or something like that. And they get their quarterback. Am I crazy? Or does a gut feeling might have a little support?
I like the scenario. If they're going to do that, I think they'll do it. I think they'll take the quarterback first and then move back in for who else they want. I think that could be the
– So they could go – but my thought there is I agree with you. But don't you think that there's a higher probability of the guy, the defender you're looking for is gone in the next five picks than the quarterback?
I do agree. I see what you're saying. I just think that if they are really confident about whatever quarterback they're picking, whether it's, you know, Sam Howell, Desmond Ridder, Matt Corral, whoever they're confident in, I think they'll just take them at 20.
But what if they're not confident? That's my thought here. It's like the Ravens were not confident in Lamar Jackson. They were just like, all right, he's here. We're going to get him. I don't think the Pittsburgh Steelers are dead confident in any of these guys. I really don't. I think they're doing their homework, but like, I don't know. There was just like so much certainty that Najee Harris was a pro and he was pro ready. And
it's a bad quarterback class.
Bad quarterback class. And they want a quarterback, but I think that when it comes time, they're going to look at it and they're going to go, we still don't have a safety. So maybe we should get a safety.
Look, you're preaching to me. I'd love that. I really would. I'm telling you, I will get on Twitter. We'll go live right after the pick on here. I will literally jump around like crazy, scream at the top of my lungs if they pass on a quarterback. I will be so happy.
I will be pouring sweat writing articles. Pouring sweat trying to make
I'll be so happy. Happen. I mean, honestly, though, like the guy that I think I do think that Stingley and Hamilton will probably be gone by 20. I'm telling you though, if Daxton Hill was there at 20, I would just take him. I'd take Andrew Booth too. Either one of those guys would be a big boost to the defense. I know that the offense really needs talent and they need to improve, but I'm just thinking long term. Both of those guys, you know, Booth and Hill play premium positions because I'm going to say Daxton's going to play in the slot at the next level. At least in sub packages, you can move him down there. So I would definitely like.
That's what I'm saying. That's what I'm saying. I'm thinking Daxton Hill, whoever, pick 20. You trade back in for a quarterback. You give up your third round pick. You use your second round pick on something that you need, like a wide receiver. You don't need a pick until the fifth round. The fifth round. You could be chilling. Like you've already done the big things that you need to do. Now it's about depth. You could wait two rounds for depth.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know if they're gonna do. I don't know.
Obviously, I'm not saying like, I spoke with Kevin Colbert. This would be the craziest thing Kevin Colbert's ever done.
What's really gonna suck, and it's like the nightmare doomsday scenario that I keep coming back to. It's gonna suck if like pick 20 rolls around, say Malik Willis goes in the top 10, say Kenny Pickett goes in the top 10, which I don't want Pickett in the first round in general. But like,
those two are
gone. And then it's, you know, even Desmond Ridder, say maybe he goes to New Orleans. I don't know. Maybe he's gone too. The worst thing that could happen, in my opinion, is Sam Howell at 20.
Sam Howell, baby. We know that would happen, though. We know for a fact that would happen.
Right. There is no defending that, in my opinion. And, like, that really would – it would be tough to swallow regardless of who was on the board. But, like, if they were to do that with Andrew Booth on the board or Dax on the board
– you know,
like,
they would. You know they would.
It would hurt my soul. It really would. It would bring me to, like, 2018 type of pain.
Way worse.
Got the Terrell Edmonds.
Way worse.
And I like Edmonds.
Terrell Edmonds, at least you were just like, I don't even know who this guy is. I didn't even realize he played football. Sam Howell, you know exactly what you're getting, and you know exactly what you just passed up.
The 2018 draft, I still remember that entire weekend, but I've never felt more pain as a Steelers fan. That was so painful. I mean, it looks even worse in retrospect, but it was painful, man. That was painful.
I think it would happen. So, I mean, just to give people hope real quick before we jump off, do you think that if those three guys are gone, they might maybe go a logical pick at 20 and then wait it out till the second round? Do you think either one of those? Because Matt Corral, if you're going Sam Howell, you're going Matt Corral. You don't care about either one of them. Do you think they make it to the second round if all those three guys go first?
I don't know, man. I mean, this class is going to be so muddy to where, like, different teams are going to obviously have way different rankings, in my opinion. It just really concerns me that the Steelers like Sam Howell. Like, I know Colbert's
– Love Sam Howell.
Colbert's seen him a gazillion times.
Love.
And it really worries me because, like, it makes me think that they could – that could potentially be the pick at 20. I mean, if they picked him in the second round, it's – obviously, I still don't like it. But, I mean, I can deal with that. But I can't – I pick 20, man. Even in a class where the depth and the kind of talent level does start to kind of dip at, like, 15, I'm going to lose my mind. Period.
You can't, even if it did dip, even if it does dip at 15, Sam Howell, what do you think Sam Howell would go in a normal class? If Sam Howell came out of college last year, where do you think he's going?
He's not good.
Do you think he's a fifth round?
I don't know where he goes. I mean,
think he even gets drafted?
I can't even say that he would go here or there because, like, guys like Kyle Trask. Didn't Kyle Trask go second round last year?
Kyle Trask is going to be the reason the Tampa Bay Buccaneers don't draft a quarterback.
Yeah,
Bruce Arians came right out of his mouth. He was like, "Well, we have Kyle Trask. Why would we draft anybody?" I'm like, "Because you Kyle Trask. That's you just answered the own question."
No. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, bad quarterbacks get taken earlier than they should all the time, so it wouldn't surprise me. I don't want it to be the Steelers. I really don't. I hope they're smarter than that. At least with a guy like Ridder.
Yeah, there's upside.
There's a little bit of upside, and then I just think he's way more ready to play. I mean, just from a processing standpoint. And Howell literally does not know how to throw with anticipation. And at least Ridder knows how to do that.
You could get rid of like DeAndre Johnson. And
I think a lot of people are getting suckered into this whole thing where, like, Howell ran for however many yards he ran last year.
800.
Who gives a damn? He is not going to do that at the next level. Like, stop throwing those stats. Like, Carolina was a bad offense. They got a bad scheme. He didn't have a lot around him. I get that. But he's not a very good athlete. Like, he's an average athlete at best. He is not. He's not that guy. He starts running around like crazy like that in the backfield. NFL defense is going to eat him up. So,
Draft Sam Howell and you don't have to worry about throwing with the anticipation, you could get rid of Deontay Johnson.
Yeah.
Might have
prayers, man. I can't. I'm going to lose so many followers, man. Because I will light that app on fire if it happens. And I promise. I've already said it once on Twitter. I will light Twitter on fire if that happens at pick 20.
All right. So next week, we're talking all Sam Howell, complete breakdown of what to expect when he is the Pittsburgh Steelers pick at number 20. Derek just sent it right into the universe. Thank you, everybody, for jumping on to another episode of All Steelers Talk. Make sure to subscribe to us on YouTube, youtube.com/AllSteelersTalk. We'll be back next week. Enjoy your weekend. 20 days till the NFL draft. Peace.